Look, I'm not saying that these episodes are the best of the season so far, because the entire season has been amazing, but we're talking about episodes 4 and 5 of season 3 of Camp Camp, and we have a special guest, so don't you go change it.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Feel the energy. Feel the emotion, no matter what part of the emotional spectrum you're on. This is Rooster Teeth Reviews, and we're talking about Camp Camp Season 3, Episodes 4 and 5. Welcome in. I'm one of your hosts, Counselor Mark B. Donica, joined to my left by Megan Salinas.
Hey, guys. I am just feeling at peace.
That's bizarre, and yet fitting. Stacey Shuttleworth.
I guess I'm at peace.
And Katie Cullen.
Why did you call me? I don't want to be here.
And now I'm having a grand old time.
Tears. Oh, boy. So tonight we're going to be talking about episodes 4 and 5. We got a little bit of a late start. If you're a Voltron fan, go check out ABCV Voltron if you haven't yet, because that was insanity. But this is so much fun. These episodes were great. And I want to thank everybody who did submit a camp activity, but due to timing, we're not going to be able to get to them on the show today, but please stay tuned for the end of the show, because we have another camp activity for the next time we run the show. And also, thank you for everybody joining us on a Monday instead of Wednesday because of the 4th of July. But let's get our special guest on the phone. And these two episodes, Nikki's Last Day on Earth and Dial M for Jasper. What a strange, just collection of emotions.
I love these two, especially I ended up watching them back to back, and I don't regret that, because thematically I felt like they tied in very well together, actually.
Yeah.
Man, these are fun episodes.
But yeah, fun couple episodes, a lot of comedy. Katie, quick thoughts?
I had a ridiculous amount of fun with these. Oh my God.
So there's a couple of beats that I want to talk about as we get into Nikki's Last Day on Earth. But before we do that, I would like to welcome our special guest, who was suggested to me by the one and only Eddie Rivas, friend of the show, a new friend of the show, Lee Love.
Yay! Hey! Hi, hello.
Hi, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're really excited to have you here this episode. Like, we all love the show, and we're all various degrees of fans of yours. Because for those of the listeners who aren't familiar with the other work that you do, why don't you tell them about Fangirls and all of the other animation stuff you do on YouTube?
Well, I have a little silly YouTube channel in which I upload all kinds of pop culture mashups, mm-hmm. parodies, and fan culture stuff. All animated, all comedies, various degrees of funny, hopefully. Yes,
that's
yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Nailed it.
Yes.
The first question that I wanted to ask you is, how did you get involved with Rooster Teeth to be one of their writers this season?
So, I was, I think it was 2 years ago that the RTX that was 2 years ago, they started reaching out to animators they liked, because, they started doing the animation festival.
Yeah.
They might have started before. I wasn't very familiar with them, actually, before that. I'm not very YouTube savvy. so I wasn't aware. And then I told my friends about it. They're like, oh, yeah, Rooster Teeth, they're huge. As I started getting more acquainted. So that 2 years ago, that RTX, I did not attend. I sent out a cartoon that I made to be part of that festival. Mm-hmm. A year after, which was last year, they invited me to come over and be part of some of the panels and, you know, put up another animated video. So I got to know some of them a little more. They offered me and my husband, who writes with me, to write some PSAs for Red versus Blue.
Oh.
One of them already came out. Another one will come out soon, I hope. While we started pitching some ideas for some more PSAs, because the first two were good. Miles Luna said, oh, actually, we'd love to have some help with Camp Camp this season. And we were very excited because It's very cool.
So you weren't very familiar with the animation landscape as it came from Rooster Teeth. Was there anything as you were first starting to expose yourself to that world, any brand that really leapt out at you to want to take part of?
You mean when I started seeing stuff over there?
Yeah.
I never really thought about it this way. I kind of came in as a viewer. I was kind of starting to see what everything was all about. Not that I wanted or didn't want to, just it never really occurred to me. I was just kind of having fun as a participant. I was actually thinking more towards, next RTX, I'll bring this video and I want to be part of that panel. So that kind of took me, it was kind of a very pleasant surprise, all of that.
That's really cool. That's very cool. And we're happy to have you as a part of the Camp show, and we're big fans of it here. Was this the first episode that you were given?
The first episode is actually the one that is going to come out on Friday the 13th.
Ooh,
fantastic.
Which I will not say what it's about. That's that was cool. The first one that we wrote. Mm-hmm. And it's also my favorite. So wait and see. This one was the second one, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, it was the second one we got.
I love. We've talked to various members of the team, and the amount of people that say this is my favorite. No, this is my favorite. Oh, you gotta like. There's so much love in this creative community, and we're so happy that you're getting a chance to share with us. Anybody else have any questions before we start talking about the episode?
About the episode specifically. Yeah. I was wondering, did you pitch the idea, the premise of this episode, to the showrunners, or did they sort of pitch it to you?
We did not. That was the biggest surprise. It was actually kind of a concept that they were trying to create for a while. They wrote a few drafts of that. Jordan wrote a few drafts of that. And they wanted to reach a certain tone. And they approached us with that. They said they wanted some help with this episode. So, you know, I was working on the first episode. We were working on the first episode. And then they said, oh, we have another one once you finish this one. And me and my husband started kind of thinking, ooh, what are they going to bring to us? Are they going to ask us to pitch something? And we started, you know, kind of fantasizing about what it could be. And we could not fantasize this. I was talking to him to them on Skype. Mm-hmm. And went to my husband and told him, oh my God, we're doing a period episode. I was so happy about it. It's such a good concept that is really being made. And I was so happy to kind of mess around with that. It was just, I love that idea. It was just, it was better than what I could anticipate.
Same.
So beautiful.
Yeah. Usually with quote coming of age stories that these stories kind of get lumped into, never does it reach this level of magic, debauchery.
You can only say magic when you're the only person at the table who hasn't had a period.
It was actually interesting writing it because I've been. Since I have polycystic ovaries, which is a thing that, you know, if you don't know, just Google. I don't know how to explain it in English. So I started taking pill at a very young age, like from 17 or something like that. And so I never had like really awful period PMS problem. Like, you know, I do have the cramps. I do have, you know, the other stuff, like, you know, the bloating and everything. But it was never very, very horrible for me. So a lot of these experiences I kind of borrowed from friends or how I know it feels. You know, it's not peachy came from me either, but, you know, it is something that, you know, I needed some outside information to see, you know, what is the experience to a lot of other women. So that was very interesting.
Yeah, that's very interesting. No. It's we're all just kind of nodding like, oh, hey, wow.
Well, it rang very true.
Oh my God!
It was a lot of it was kind of, you know, we tried not to go with existing tropes. I know that a lot of them, you know, it rang true, and I know that some of them might have felt exaggerated or kind of echoed to other experiences you might have seen in TV. But we tried to kind of make it feel a little more familiar. Mm-hmm. And there's one line that I love so much. I think it was my husband that pitched that one line. When Gwen says, do you feel like it's a punishment for everything you've ever done?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was so accurate.
and he wrote that, and it's like, oh, you get it.
A question to the panel. Was there a moment in particular where your eyes...
I'd love to know that, yes.
Where your eyes went,
oh.
That's what this episode is.
I want to know, yes, please.
It's so interesting because for me, looking at the mood swings of that Nikki was experiencing, I was thinking that we were going through the five stages of death, you know, in terms of like the anger and
depression. Blood out of the body. All burnt up.
That's ghostening.
That's ghostening, actually.
Yeah.
Ghostification.
Yes. For me, it was definitely and the bleeding is terrible. That was when it clicked. It was like, boy.
I kind of have to agree. I'm so not used to media addressing the fact that women have periods, or when it does address it, it always does it in a usually very offhanded way where either guys are just like, oh, let's not talk about that.
Or it's an after school special.
Or we go full Carrie.
Yeah.
So, bloody handprints.
So I'll be honest, it was not even on my mind.
Same. I'm a little embarrassed.
We knew we didn't want to make it obvious straight away. We do like when, you know, when the audience receives kind of this exploration candy of, ooh, I wonder what this can be. And then maybe some of them will detect it at this point or another. We kind of wanted to aim for, you know, the oh moment to be when she says, but the bleeding, you know, the bleeding stopped, but the stomach, or the stomach aches stop, but you know, the bleeding is persistent. But we knew that some people will detect it before. And, you know, we did read comments and some people were like, oh, I knew straight away, or I knew at this moment, or I knew that moment. And that's extremely satisfying. But yeah, we on one hand, we did want to make a little fun mystery and, you know, kind of a red herring because she does drink Neil's kosher thing.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we did rely on that not being, you know, a storyline that you see a lot. It was something that we kind of used. We're like, okay, we have an educated audience that is used to TV and film, but they're not less used to this plot line. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of were like, okay, let's use that. So anything we make, we need to make it subtle, but it's fine if it's, you know, I remember when I saw, they sent me the animatic, and I remember when she said, Nikki, at some point, oh, I feel like drained, like all the blood vanished from my body. And I was like, I remember writing it, but now it's so obvious. Oh, everyone's gonna find out then. But it worked.
That was the moment. Like the food was a very Nikki moment. Was just like, oh, she's hungry. Though she left the green olives and like a crust of bread, which is very weird.
I love that she left the green olives, right? Because I am also that human.
Black olives all the way.
But, absolutely.
No olives.
It was all the blood left my body was one of the moments where I went, wait a minute.
That was the moment when my husband called it.
Oh, really?
He figured it out before I
Rommel
did.
And I, how about
and
that?
As soon as he said it, I went, oh, you're right.
Yeah.
We have Standing By Life in chat saying, the second Nikki said alien pain, I knew. And we have Eddie Rivas going, oh, I finally get it. Hi, you troll.
I remember when we wrote that line, and you know, Max said something like, she probably needs to fart or something. We wrote, it was changed. The first time we wrote it was, you can fart if you want, we're all friends here. And then Nikki's like, oh, it's not alien pain, it's poop pain. And my husband and I were looking at each other and was like, we're artists.
We're getting paid for this.
Serious work.
Yes.
We're
grown-ups writing.
We're adults. We are responsible adults who do responsible adult things.
So I'm probably looking way too deep into this. But what do you have against red vines?
I don't. It was them. I love red vines. They're also vegan. So, but I mean, I remember we wrote twirling, I don't remember the line completely, but all twizzly, like Twizzlers. And then when Miles and Jordan received that draft, they added, but horrible, like Red Vines. And I wrote to them back in the email, I do not approve of this line, but it's very fun and it works.
It's a deal breaker.
So I got to throw down with Miles then.
Yeah, let's do it. That's what we bring him for RTX. We bring him a case of Red Vines.
Yes! Hey, man.
Sorry, I just blew out everyone's audio levels. I'm so excited. No, for Red Vines are a great kid snack. You bite both ends off, get a soda, and use it as a straw. They're a hollow.
Oh, God. No, I'm sorry. I refuse to that. No.
I'm also the kid who put blue pixie sticks in Mountain Dew. All right, like I don't know how I survived.
And you turned out fine.
I turned out fine.
Fine.
I did not, however, watch rated Z movies, and still don't because I'm a wuss.
Oh my god, that's our favorite joke. you
have a lot of experience on your own channel writing for an ensemble cast with a lot of different personalities, and Camp Camp definitely has a lot of distinct personalities. Did you find any characters in particular difficult to write for?
I think there were a few kids. It wasn't really hard to write. There were just one episode. I'm not going to talk about what happens in it, so I will not spoil. But some of the kids needs to say stuff, and we really wanted to be kind of diverse, that each one of them gets to say something. It was kind of hard to us to decide who says what. I think it was Harrison, Preston, and Neris. Three of those, it's not that they're hard to write, is there some sentences we had in mind, we weren't sure which one of them, you know, is probably going to say it. Preston is kind of, it's kind of an ace card. It's like, if we want a sentence to sound funnier, we give it to him. Harrison is actually, he's voiced by a friend of mine, by Tom Perel, mm-hmm. who I know he is also from Israel like me. So, I really wanted him to get, sentences, just I love his voice. So it's like, you know, but I would say those three, I wouldn't say hard to write, but at some points we were kind of having difficulties deciding who will say this sentence that we wanted, but we weren't sure, you know.
And in this episode we got to see a lot of people's interpretations of what their last day on earth would want to be. Were there any other kids' ideas of a last day that you wrote that didn't make it into the episode?
Oh yeah, at some point we did like a montage of mm-hmm. everyone doing a last day with her. It didn't go so well, so we changed that. In the montage we had Dolph drawing something macabre with her. Mm-hmm. I think Harrison, I'm not mistaken, right? That's the magician kid.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Harrison, he teaches her a magic trick, I think a dove ends up, you know, dead in his hat or something.
Oh.
And
that's,
you know, yeah, all of them has to can connect to death in some way. What else? Yeah, all of them had stuff. Ooh, other kids, trying to remember what else we have there.
That's all right.
I think with Neil, she says something about Neil that, ooh, I hope this play is better than Neil's 3-hour lecture about don't eating my body to science.
Yeah.
That's an actual lecture that we did in that montage. And then and then a scene later, he's kind of tied up like a piñata, and she beats him up with I'm bad with names, and which is also a funny story that I will tell in just a second with Nerf.
Great.
Yeah, actually, I'm kind of embarrassed that I don't remember the names now, because the biggest thing that I kept telling Miles, and I did like a little comics about it, I'll send it to you guys, is that I remember all the name perfectly until some point, but I kept forgetting David's name. Like, I like, okay, and then Nerf does that, and Nerf goes there, and then Daniel, no, it's David. Yeah, yeah, and then Adam, no, it's David. I called him Daniel, I called him Adam, I called him Kevin, I called him Jonathan. I don't know, just kind of this regular white boy name.
All the very basic names you can come up with.
He's got one of those faces.
I mean, Daniel was the murder counselor. Oh, yeah. So.
I was going to say, regardless, he's a D somewhere. But I also wanted to ask about our B story, which was Space Kid keeping the counselors distracted.
Oh, my God.
Dante's theories.
Yeah. How much?
Also pitched by them.
Also pitched by them. Okay. Was there anything that you wanted to focus on? Was there a belief system that you wanted to get in there? Or was it all sort of, like, we want you to hit this point, that point, this point?
Yeah, there wasn't something specific that we wanted to hit in terms of a belief system. Mm-hmm. We did want, you know, Gwen to be more direct and, you know, and honest about everything, and David kind of trying to tell him stories and invent stuff and, you know, talk about how, you know, kind of sugarcoat everything. That's kind of the main thing that we wanted to happen there. Another one of my favorite line is the and then you can get reincarnated as something wonderful, like an artwork or a music producer. I don't even remember what happened when we wrote that.
But it was a welcome addition.
It really was. And Gwen's theory of reincarnation, just a hotter version of yourself. I have to believe there's something more.
Oh my God. We actually, my idea was that she says a hotter, cooler version of yourself, that, you know, a hotter, you know, awesome version of yourself. That can be all it. And I didn't mean that she's not hot. I just kind of assumed, because a lot of comments later is like, oh, what, why do they think Gwen isn't hot? Oh, she totally is. I just kind of assumed that she would be a sort of person that, you know, assumes that about themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
It seemed funny.
Just because we think she's hot doesn't mean that she sees herself that way. And we know that Gwen, she has issues.
Gwen is awesome.
Yeah, Gwen is very awesome. I don't know if you put this in the script because it was a visual gag, but one of my favorite references on the chalkboard was when David bends down, you see on the top right corner that his head was covering the flying spaghetti monster.
Oh, yeah, that's all them. That's
okay,
all right.
I just wanted to double check.
Department or...
They reference Pastafarianism.
Yep. There's a bunch of stuff there. There's Olam Haba, there's... everything.
Yeah, it's wild, some of the visual gags that they put in there, but that one was for eagle-eyed people because it was covered and then it wasn't and then it was back covered.
Is flying spaghetti monster still a thing? Do you, do teenagers know that today?
I don't know. What are the kids into?
What kind of religion do they invent now?
yeah, spaghetti.
They're too busy fighting for their freedom.
Yeah. Back in my day, we had plenty of time to just frivolously enjoy the flying spaghetti monster.
Yeah.
Kids today have to work.
Yeah.
Kids today are into Cthulhu.
But that was a gag, I assume, by the art department.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Who is your favorite character to write for in this episode? I know it was a Nikki-centric episode, but we got a lot of input from every character, really. So who was your favorite?
I think our favorite was Max and Nikki and Max, mm-hmm. Over there, because I sort of identified with both of them, and I really heard Max in my head very clearly. Like, Nikki, when we wrote Nikki, we were like, I wonder how the voice actress is going to do this. But with Max, it was just exactly as I imagined that character. So yeah, both of them were kind of fun to write because, you know, Max is the kind of the voice of reason that needs to cool everything down. I remember, I think it was in the beginning, everyone's like, you know, she's going to die. And I was like, why? What? And he's the only one who's like, what? What's going on? What is this? And on the other hand, there's Nikki that does take everything very face value and very honest about everything and kind of a person who, you know, believes everything. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, we felt very strongly for both of them in this. Like, I think we really identified with both of them. The play thing is just, it's a trope that both me and I will stop saying my husband, his name is Oren. But both of us love when there's, you know, like, I think it was in Grand Game of Thrones, they had one like that where, you know, the characters kind of put up, some characters put up a show, with other characters that is familiar to us. Mm-hmm. We've been dying to do something like that. And with Preston existing in the show, we were really surprised that it didn't happen before. We were really kind of looking at the episodes like, well, did they do that before? No. Oh, God, that's awesome. And we kind of imagine, you know, him seeing that and feeling, you know, shitty about himself because he sees kind of a mirror of himself. Mm-hmm. That was fun to write because I think that's something I identify with. You know, you talk to someone that kind of gives you that feeling of your worst qualities kind of condensed, and you're like, oh, God, I've been,
it's the best of how terrible you are.
Yeah. It's like, so, yeah. So we love writing for, you know, Max and Nikki.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Nikki yelling at him for the, you're selfish and that's what selfish is. It's like, wow. Tell it. She's dying of the truth.
I think we wrote something else that's actually a fix by them, by Miles and Jordan. I think it was a callback for an episode before. I think that's why they changed that. Hmm. To this specific line.
Yeah,
well, Nikki has a tendency to be very literal and definitive like that. So it was a nice little like, oh, well, there's Nikki.
Yeah.
No, the selfish thing, specifically that line, I think was a callback to another episode. But yeah, she kind of loses it at that point.
And before we let you go, was there anything you want to preview, you want to promote in terms of Camp Camp or your Patreon or anything else that you're working on right now?
So yeah, so my Patreon, I'm actually working on a new video right now, which has to do kind of with Infinity War. And it's also a mashup, but I don't want to spoil what it's mashup with. It's a very popular show. And so I'm working on that. And I can, you know, my Patreon is patreon.com only Lee, O-N-L-Y-L-E-I-G-H. Anything can help us make it, $1 to $2 if you feel like it. So that will be on my channel. And Camp Camp, our next episode is going up on Friday the 13th, and it's going to be very, very special and a little spooky.
Megan is very excited.
Perfect. Well, Lee, thank you so much for spending some of your night with us, and maybe after your next episode comes up, we can have you back on.
Yay, please. That would be awesome.
Thank you so much, Lee. Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Bye. Now we'll do rapid roundtable thoughts of this episode before we move on to the next one, starting with Katie.
My God, this episode was so much fun to watch. I think I pretty much said what all of my favorite parts of it were, but having the congratulations, women have periods, addressed so frankly was so out of the blue, and I adore that they did it.
Mm-hmm.
Just yes, good. Sign me up. I have to wonder if this is ever going to come back, because we do function in a land of semi-negative continuity.
True, but we did get a reference from Space Kid in the next episode that means everything's cyclical. But what about you, Stacey?
Yes, all of that. Also, again, Max, you know, is growing up, little Max, too. Like, yeah. And I think this carries on to the next episode, too, so I'll hold all of my Max thoughts.
It keeps carrying on.
It does.
And we have two more weeks until we can talk about what it carries on to. Anyway.
Yeah, the seeing Max grow and develop, like, we've seen him develop over the course of several seasons, but we're seeing a lot of his compassion come out in this season, and, like, but in ways that still very Max. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool. Yeah, I have to agree, like, seeing a component of my life presented, you know, which is normally ignored or glossed over or made a very sexist joke of, it's very interesting to see it presented in this way to somebody who didn't know that that's what she was going through. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to watch that and sort of discover that that's what was happening.
And
to
also,
her.
Nikki's is the most developed of the group, despite Nerf being 30 years old. had to get it in there. Eddie, it would make my year if you make one reference to it in the show. Anyway, but agree. I like how Max seems to be a different camper when David's not around. Like, he's still a little shit, but he's still like, well, these are my friends. If I'm going to be in hell, I'm going to be in good company. And then also Space Kid at the last line of the show. When am I going to get my period? And that's sort of, but for anybody watching the show, or if for some strange reason kids are watching this show, that changes the public perception of periods. Of making like, what? Really?
And you can bleed for days and not die?
Never die. Yeah. So I liked what they did with this episode. This was a really fun episode to watch on my vacation.
Yeah. And I also just really like the dilemma that David and Gwen are in. Like, mm-hmm. I don't have kids, but yeah, this is something I've thought about. Like, if I have kids, what, like, when that question comes up, what am I going to say? And mm-hmm. their dilemma was just perfect to watch unfold.
Mm-hmm.
Just that high pitch. That and the scream next episode. I just have to wonder how many takes it gets for Miles to get up there.
Oh, but, yeah. Remember at the panel, he discussed like, yeah, this isn't going to get annoying of me doing a really high-pitched version of my own
That's
voice.
That's a stupid voice.
I'll never do it again.
Hi, guys.
So really quickly, we're going to get to Dial M for Jasper, but we just want to let you know that our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, and we know because the audiences carry over from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that there's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We are asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to this channel, YouTube will suggest content that is tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, they're optional. The bell would let you know anytime we're live, so you'll never be late again, but it doesn't force you to do it. So hit that subscribe button now for AfterBuzz TV Animation, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know that you did in the comments, and we will thank you on air. But for now, thanks for being the best fans and helping us be the ESPN of TV talk. And we'd like to thank everybody that's also gone to iTunes, left us reviews. We know a lot of you are a sign of carryovers from all of our other shows, and you have left reviews, but I don't think we've gotten any new ones in a little bit. So make sure to leave one. If you're in a region that's not the United States, we can't see it, so take a screenshot and send that to us. All right, let's get to Dial M for Jasper. To be perfectly honest, I really like this episode, but ultimately, I don't think we have too much to pull from it, you know?
Yeah.
It was a very linear story that was, hey, this is happening. How is this going to happen? It happened.
Yeah, there was a very clear, intentional misdirect that, you know, partway through the episode, they steer in the opposite direction. And I will say that I was still shocked when it happened that, like, the entire episode, you're like, is this the one where we finally see what became of Jasper?
Oh, dang.
And the answer is yes.
We did. No bells and whistles. We just did.
He got obliterated.
I like Space Kid's reference to Night of the Living Ill.
Yes! Like,
I've never seen a ghost before. I have. Hey, help me find a dog.
And that I screamed when that happened. Like, so he has! They have!
So highlights. Because, I mean, this is a very, very linear story, which is actually kind of, I wouldn't say new, but it's different. We're so used to so many things happening across the various campers, whereas this was a straight through line of a story.
It's so, for me, the highlight was basically it's the same dilemma that Gwen and David were in the previous episode. The campers come across knowledge that is unbeknownst to David, and they have to make a choice about whether or not to be honest with him or whether or not to sugarcoat it and sort of hide the ugliness of what happened. And you know, where David and Gwen decided to be honest at the end of the day, they choose instead to sugarcoat it for David's sake. So I thought that was very interesting. Again, watching these two episodes back to back, I'm like, it's so interesting that it was the exact same dilemma handled oppositely from sort of the opposite of who you would expect it. You would expect the kids to be more straightforward and frank, and the adults to want to soften the blow for the kids, and it's the other way around.
Well, I feel like most people sugarcoat things for David, honestly, and I am certain that this is going to come back and bite them, because, by the way, this camper that you thought just went home with his parents is actually dead, and Cameron Campbell lied to you. We probably need to start disillusioning David, because Cameron's going to throw him under the bus.
I mean, he's going to try.
Well,
to quote a very famous DM, he can certainly try.
He can try.
all of the backwards references we got, it's like, I'm going to send you to Regular Island. Very good.
With a naming. Okay.
So,
you're so good at naming things like that. That was...
So I don't know if y'all noticed this, but this is probably one of my favorite visual gags that they've ever done. We got the amazing flying spaghetti monster, this one, but in this, when we're in the cave and Jasper's seeing everything, I don't know why it clicked for me, but the second time I looked, I saw this item and I know exactly what it was. Cameron Campbell took Venus de Milo's arms.
Oh!
On the pile of art, there's two white arms. And I went, those are Venus de Milo's arms. I don't know what possessed me to think that, but I knew exactly what they were, and I laughed my ass off.
Oh my
that
God.
Piece of shit took Venus de Milo's arm. And that's an old cartoon trope, is anytime you're like in like ancient Greece or whatever, and there's the statue, the arms are there, and something silly happens and the arms are gone.
And the arms fall off.
So they still managed to get a cartoon trope in there in a background joke, and it's fucking hilarious. Thank you. That's my favorite. It's so stupid and I love it.
Honestly, one of my favorite things was not in front of the microwave.
Not in front of the microwave.
Because it sounds like it's a quartermaster joke.
Oh, yeah.
And then 5 minutes later, oh, my God.
That was great payoff.
Let's go back to listening in on civilians from their microwaves. Like, what?
Not in front of the microwave.
What? How much does he know?
Everything.
Everything.
More than we could even imagine.
Oh,
my God.
So, yeah, we get Campbell at Super Guantanamo, which I didn't expect we were going to see.
No!
With the Millers. And
come on, honey.
He blames... I love Ryan being romantic so with himself. Good. It's a weird self-fulfilling prophecy.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Cameron Campbell is an arms dealer.
Boom!
Oh, no!
Boom! Boo.
That is the
when
best
I said
pun.
Arms dealer, well, that wasn't what I meant.
That is the best pun that chat has made all night.
I don't know.
And I have been watching chat's puns.
I don't know. Despashiro was mine.
No,
anyway.
This
chat. It's fun,
this
guys.
Chat.
I'm going to go now.
So we get him blaming Davey for anything, but all of the flashbacks seem to have been from Jasper's perspective. But then when that story sort of finishes out, we go back to the flashback, and in that particular flashback, it sounded like Campbell's just a piece of shit. So we don't know.
I mean, he is.
Yes, yeah. But and congratulations on the baby,
Travis and Laura. Willingham. Yeah.
But Ronan, adorable little name for a little ninja.
Aww.
But yeah, he blames Davey, but from what we hear from Davey, it's just him being hopeful. Camp ADM sort of
well,
a kid.
Yeah. Jasper says it himself, you know, Campbell seems to be more likely to set you up to take the fall than he is, you know, looking to accept your help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's like foreshadowing from 11 years ago.
Also, we got a murder mystery plot, so that's one of
three. We got a Scooby-Doo murder mystery
Scooby-Doo
plot.
Murder mystery plot, that's one of three.
Wiretap love confession.
And love quadrangle.
Wait. Wiretap love confession.
Wiretap confession.
Wiretap confession.
We know that there are microwaves that they're tapped.
Accidental wiretap confession and love quadrangle.
We're in the background of a scene. We're just going to see Quartermaster interrogating the microwave. What the hell do you know? You stupid piece of cover shit. Like something like that.
Leave my pacemaker alone.
Yeah. Oh, dear God. So, last thoughts about Dial M for Jasper so we can get to camp activities, because we didn't have a lot of time this episode.
This was a thing of wonder and glory, and I'm so happy that this was our Scooby-Doo-style murder mystery.
Mm-hmm.
I won't be surprised if Jasper never comes back again, like if this was good enough closure, but we definitely have a backdoor for if he does. Like, I am good with it either way.
And I would like to take credit saying that he couldn't travel too far or if at all outside of Spooky Island. Called
yep.
that one.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Nailed
that.
Pick up the phone.
I mean, I'm going to go back to Max because, you know, like 2 seasons ago, he would have looked at David with, aha, that's what happened. So,
you murdered him, you crazy son of a bitch.
So the growth.
Yeah.
Just the joy that is hearing Griffin McElroy do voiceover.
same, but Travis Willingham.
Yes.
Especially when he's prime Cam. which leads to our camp activities. Ooh. And one of my favorite lines that I'm very curious, we have a lot of artists in and storytellers in the chat, so let's talk about our camp activities. First, in relating to the first episode, this one's very simple. I think anybody can do it. How would you spend your last day on Earth? Or how would your camper spend your last day on Earth? Make it silly, make it weird, how would you go out? All that fun stuff. But the one that I'm really interested in seeing everybody's opinion on, what was Hot Dog Guy? Tell us what Hot Dog Guy was. I want to see this shit, because that sounds silly as hell.
I legitimately want to see at least one person do the It's Always Sunny murder board. Photoshop me something fun, y'all.
Why the hell not?
See, I feel like that was one of his script ideas that was too good for Hollywood.
And the other angel asks in chat, on a completely different note, who the heck is Ted? Cameron mentions him twice, once way back when, and another in Arid Gets Her Cool Back.
And also, he was on the sign of the keep out. I don't know if that sounds menacing enough. Read that back to me, Ted.
He wouldn't just say it. Well, maybe he was taking dictation.
Yeah. Nice. So I hope maybe we find out who Ted is.
Deep cuts.
Ted the quartermaster.
So yes, let us know who what was Hot Dog Guy. Yeah. We want to thank Lila Hoff for coming in. She was a wonderful guest. Make sure you go support her if you haven't watched any of her stuff. It's so wonderful. She's on YouTube at Only Lee and her Patreon as well. She's a wonderful voice, and Oren, her husband, are a wonderful voice into the show. And it gave us one of the best episodes of a series. And
oh yeah,
we can't appreciate it enough. And thanks, Eddie, for connecting us. Really appreciate that. I know you're here.
Yeah.
He leaves one comment, but he stays. I know.
Watching. Always watching.
Every time an episode comes out, he texts me now saying, well, so what'd you think? And I love that. And
he doesn't have to ask us because we just put stuff up late.
Yeah. I try
3 weeks late.
But yeah, I'm so excited for the next episode of the Camp in Particular show.
Have you all seen it? Yeah, we watched it last night.
So next week we're going to be covering the...
Week after next.
The next time we are going to be covering the Lake Lilac Social.
I'm so proud of you.
What?
You're excited about the next episode.
It's this show. Have you seen this show? Anyway, we got to get out of here, but let us know who the Hot Dog Guy was. And let us know how you would spend your last day on Earth. ABTV Camp Camp is the hashtag, or leave in the comments down below if it's just words. Also, if you watch Red vs. Blue, that is going to be the next show next week, so make sure to check that out as well. And then we will be back the week after for Camp Camp. We'll figure something out for Chibi. We're less than a month away from RTX.
Yeah, we are.
I should buy my ticket. Anyway, before we go, let's give socials what you're working on and whatever. I'm tired. We're all tired.
Let's sign out.
Bandages.
You want to talk about all the fun stuff that we have for our TeePublic and YouTube and whatnot?
Yeah, I can do that. I will get that when it comes back to me.
All right. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias as well as on YouTube and Twitch at Kiaxet. That is K-I-A-X-E-T. If you like seeing reactions to this and other Rooster Teeth videos, that YouTube channel is where they live. I'm doing casual streams on Twitch. It's super fun. Come in and say hi. And the season finale for Voltron is next week, Mondays at 7. It's going to be completely insane. Come in, do the stuff. It's going to be great.
Stacey.
Hey guys, I'm Stacey Shuttles. You can find me all over the web at Stacey Shuttles. I'm also over on the Inventory Full channel on Twitch, and we're Inventory Full PT on Twitter, where we stream games and talk about video games because that's the rest of my life.
Yeah, we did a deep story dive into God of War 2018 today. It was a lot of fun. Amazing game. How about you, Meganium?
Megatron, Megan Solarium.
Lord Megantron.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at The Menguin. That's Themenguin. I also, if you guys are fans of Lost or if you hate Lost, I also do a podcast that is a Lost retrospective called No Love Lost.
Love the name.
Yep. A genius came up with it.
You're right. I'm Mark Biedonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Biedonica. Follow the group at ABTV Rooster Team. We're working on Welcome to Vale, which is our audio drama that takes place in the crazy wild world of Vale. So go check out our YouTube page, youtube.com/ABTV Rooster Team. And that's where we have the first two episodes up. We're working on another episode to get out before RTX. And we're working on something special for RTX. But support us, please, by going. And there's a sale right now, I believe, to tpublic.com/TheRoosterTeam. We've got 5 designs up right now. Camp design, a whole red versus blue designs, a whole bunch of stuff. It's on sale. It's quality merchandise. Just ask some of our fans that have picked it up and help support us. You support us. We make stuff you like, and it's sort of a healthy relationship like that. Get it?
It's an Ouroboros of love.
Just circulates. Anyway, I love Mario Kart Party 8. What? I can't. I'm so tired.
From executive producer Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire...
Wait, are we done? Are we actually done? Okay, anyway.
We would like
Matt,
to
everybody.
Thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Campadium!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.